In the 1920s, which if you think about it is almost 100 years ago, it used to just sound like it was a while back. But in the 1920s, American physiologist Walter Cannon first identified what has become known as the fight or flight response. Basically speaking, it is a description of the way people respond to danger, either by fighting their way through the danger or by running away. Nearly every one of us falls into one of these categories. In fact, I bet right now you're all thinking about which category you are in. I can certainly tell you what category I fall into. Last week, we talked about the temptation of Jesus and how the devil came into the wilderness to tempt Jesus. And I played devil's advocate as Jesus responded to the temptations put before him by the devil. Well, today, we are faced with a group of Pharisees, not the devil himself this time, who are warning Jesus to run away from a very dangerous situation. Verse 31 says, at that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, leave this place and go somewhere else because Herod wants to kill you. So once again, I will play devil's advocate and see where that takes us in Jesus's and our own responses on our faith journey. I really think it is important for us sometimes to focus on what Jesus does not do, because that is usually where we are. And it helps us to look at ways of dealing with our own difficulties on this journey. So I love this exchange between Jesus and the Pharisees. They tell him to run away because Herod wants to kill him. Now, this is not the Herod that wanted to kill Jesus when he was a baby. This is that Herod's son. The first Herod was a king, which gave him lots and lots of power. This second Herod, the one who is after Jesus in this portion of Scripture, was actually more like a bureaucrat of the Roman government. He was given the job to supervise that area of Judea, but he certainly did not have the power and the authority that his father before him held. But at any rate, as soon as Jesus hears this warning, he looks at the Pharisees and he says, go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I'll reach my goal. Now, when we say on the third day, that means in a short amount of time. When we say 40 days in Scripture, that means a really long time. And then Jesus continues, in any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day. For surely, a prophet cannot die outside of Jerusalem. Jesus' use of that word fox is very interesting. In Hebrew, the word fox is a destructive animal. In Greek, the word fox means a cunning or a clever animal. And so we can see this as an animal, as Herod, being not only destructive and cunning and clever, but deceitful as well. And it is certainly not any kind of term that is complimentary. But either way, that word tells us that he has no intention of leaving the area. But then here comes the question, what if he had left? What if Jesus had listened to what those Pharisees said and decided to leave? Now, you know, we have painted the Pharisees with a pretty broad brush, and we kind of think of them as always against Jesus and as being kind of bad and being always against the right and always being in the wrong. But the fact is, some of the Pharisees, history tells us this, some of the Pharisees actually were sympathetic to Jesus. And so the Scripture doesn't tell us this. These could have been Pharisees who really were trying to help Jesus, or it could have been some of those that were trying to trick him. But the fact is, whoever they were, they heard that Herod was going to kill Jesus, and so they came and said, Jesus, you need to go someplace else, pack your bags and get out of here, because Herod wants to kill you. And really, if he had left, who could blame him? I mean, his dad did that when he was a baby, right? When Jesus was a baby and Herod was killing all those babies, what did Joseph do? He took Mary and Jesus and they fled to Egypt. So apparently Joseph was a runner, not a fighter. But there's at least one very compelling reason for Jesus to run. You see, if he had fled from Herod, who knows what might have happened? His ministry could have opened up in a completely different way. He might have met all kinds of people all over the Galilee and beyond who needed just his brand of ministry. I mean, it might have been a good thing for Jesus to run away at that point. Who wouldn't? I mean, if you found out that somebody wanted to kill you, you might want to run away. Is that right? He might have been able to heal more people than he actually healed right where he was. He might have been able to live longer than the time he lived. He might have been able to see all kinds of different people, not just the ones that he thought he came to save, but he could have seen all kinds of different people, and everybody needs to know the good news of God, right? But Jesus didn't run. Jesus didn't flee. Instead, he stayed put. And so instead of escaping death on a cross, which is very, very painful, not just painful for the one on the cross, but painful for all of those people and family and friends who are his followers, he stayed and met that death face to face. But running away could have been a pretty good move on Jesus's part. I mean, who could have blamed him for taking the safe road? Now, right off front, I'm going to tell you that my natural inclination to danger or perceived threat or to conflict, when I'm backed up against the wall and I have no place else to go, what I usually try to do is turn around and look for an exit. I rarely come out fighting. My natural inclination is to run away from what looks like the perceived danger. When I was appointed at Lake Travis, I went there knowing that God had called me to be a pastor in charge. In fact, I'd been denying that call for, 5 or 6 years. And then I finally left where I was and decided that it would be better for my family if I remained an associate pastor so that it wouldn't be so hard on all of them. And so I took my own way, not God's way. I took my own way. And the fact is, it was taking the cabinet so long to make the appointments that year, and I don't like to wait. This is how I wait. When is this going to be over with? How many more minutes do we have? And yet, I decided to take my own way and not the way that God was calling me. There were so many good reasons for me to go my way instead of God's way. But I finally did answer God's call when I came here. And maybe God has been in all of it all the time, teaching me to lean on him when the going gets rough instead of making up my own path. Now, I come from a family where squabbles were quite common and where the loudest or most dramatic person always won. Now, I'm sure that none of you have any kind of family experiences like that. I'm probably the only one in the room who came from a family like that. But I will tell you that my preferred method of communication in the family was laughter and joking and sitting around enjoying each other, and we did that a lot. But every once in a while, there'd be this explosion, and that was my cue to vacate either to leave the room or to go outside or to generally make myself scarce until the danger passed. And I carried that behavior into my adult life. Of course, we all do that. Can I get an amen on that? We all carry that behavior from childhood with us. But in His mercy, God has taught me a different way of dealing with perceived threats. I've learned, and I'm still learning, that most conflict is about fear or safety. We're either afraid we're going to make someone mad or that they're going to turn on us, or we're so worried about keeping our world neat and orderly and tidy and in control that we will do whatever it takes to keep it that way. We either run from the problem hoping it'll get better on its own, or we will fight to the death to make sure that we remain in control of the situation. And so because of that, I've come to the conclusion that since we are all humans, that the answer to conflict and threats cannot be found in human solutions. The only way that we can effectively deal with conflict or danger or perceived threats is to turn to God and to keep our eyes on Him, and He will provide the solution. And what does God say to do? God says to love each other, to wait, and to lean on Him. Psalm 27, that reading that Kendall and I sang to you, is a perfect example of how to lean on God in the midst of trials. Listen to these words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then it goes on, and it talks about all the different things that might happen to a person that would be hard. And then the very end of that psalm says this: I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Not like this, but waiting, knowing that God will act when the time is right. So when Jesus sent that message to Herod, He didn't ignore him. And He didn't run away from him. He sent a message back with the well-meaning Pharisees. We're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. With the well-meaning Pharisees who were trying to warn Jesus to flee, Jesus sent, basically, He said, let Herod do what he's going to do, and I will continue to do what I'm going to do, regardless of the danger or the outcome or anyone else's behavior. Against all of my natural inclinations, I have learned to face conflict not by running away and not by fighting my way through it, but instead by meeting it face to face. At least on my best days, I get that done. Maybe on my worst days, not so much. But I have come to the conclusion that God will be there before I am, protecting me from whatever outcome I have decided is going to happen, and surrounding me with His love and reminding me that He is bigger than any discomfort I might feel. Am I good at it yet? Sometimes. But here's where my confidence lies. God is good at it. And so I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to worry about. And any time I take a step toward God, even if it's a tiny step, any time I take a risk to draw closer to God, even if it's a tiny risk, any time, grace and love and courage will meet me there. Jesus could have run away. It would have seemed like the prudent thing to do for some of us. Oh my gosh, somebody wants to kill me. No problem. I can live somewhere else. Jesus knew why he was there. And he came to show us what it looks like to lean completely on God. And he knew those Psalms. He knew, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I am confident of this, that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait on the Lord. Jesus knew that the road to Jerusalem was going to be hard, and that actually being in Jerusalem would be harder. And yet he waited on God. He also knew that the disciples that he gathered around him would also be in danger just because of their relationship with him. But he also knew that God would gather them up just as a hen gathers her chicks. Have y'all ever seen how a hen gathers those little chicks underneath her? That's what that whole passage is about when Jesus says, I wanted to gather you up as a hen gathers her chicks. But Jerusalem didn't want that to happen. And so Jesus says, tell that fox that I'm going to keep doing what God has called me to do, regardless of anything he might or might not do. God hasn't asked any of us to save the world. Can I get an amen? Oh, no. I'd say amen like I'm really excited, because who wants that job, right? That is God's job. God has not asked any of us to even save one human being. That is God's job. And I don't know if you know this, but people are hard to deal with sometimes. You can get a little tiny amen on that. You don't want anybody to know that you believe that. Some people don't want to be saved. Or some people, if you want to save them, want to just tell you how to do it. Or some people want you to save them, but not just yet. Not just yet. I'm not ready to be saved. Maybe later. That's why it's God's job. So what is our job? Our job is to wait for the Lord, to be strong and to take heart. We haven't been given full license to run away from danger every time it presents itself, and we haven't been given full license to fight our way through it and take casualties as we go. God gives us what we need. God has given us the better way, and this is what God said. Love my people. He didn't say save my people. Love my people. And learning to love as God loves, without running away, God does not abandon us, without fighting every minute of the battle, learning to love as God loves helps us to learn what the real issues are. God is there to help us. Does that mean that facing the dangers in our lives will not hurt? Absolutely not. Facing those dangers head on and meeting them face to face hurts. But the good news is, God is there before we even arrive, getting everything ready for us so that we can draw closer to him and therefore to each other. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.